I want to jump right into the update, which you all have received. And starting with the editorial, which was written by Mr. Thilo Hanstein from Germany. It was his first editorial. What we had to do, he actually wrote it in German, sent it to me, we went over it, then we sent it to our German translator, who normally translates from English into German. This time I had to translate from German into English, Daniel Blasinger. So he translated it into English, then he sent it back to us. The editorial team then went over it, our German editorial team, and then we passed it on to the main editorial team. And so that's a product, what we have received from Mr. Hanstein on the danger of self-righteous judgment. Now there is another editorial coming with the same procedure in 2 weeks, which is going to be done by Christoph Sperzer. Now in the editorial, Mr. Hanstein is talking about situations happening in Germany. And of course, he is doing it firsthand. I mean, we might be reading articles from, you know, English-speaking papers about Germany. Sometimes those of us who speak German also may read some German articles, but they're always, of course, very selective. But he is right there, and so he is giving us an overview as to what is happening in Germany. And I think if you read the editorial, you see how drastic and how incredibly appalling some of the things are happening, which are going on in Germany already right now. He begins talking about an old lady, 96 years old. She was a former typist in a concentration camp. And so she was just typing down what was happening. She is now being accused and prosecuted with aiding and abetting murder in more than 11,000 cases. And of course, all the witnesses are gone. I mean, just about nobody is alive anymore. So this prosecution is just a ridiculous example of the, on the one hand, German obsession in trying to deal with events which took place, I don't know how many years ago. And at the same time, obviously, it is so flawed because you have no eyewitnesses left. You have only some, quote-unquote, circumstantial evidence. And here, as I said, a 96-year-old woman. So he's giving this as an example to show the hysteria when it comes to the events taking place in World War II. And at the same time, he is pointing out examples where the coronavirus restrictions, which are being enforced on the German people, is very similar to what was enforced on the Jews, in particular, in Nazi Germany, already prior to World War II, and of course all the way through World War II. In other words, the Jews were not allowed to enter restaurants. They were not allowed to enter theaters, other activities. They were not permitted to participate with the rest of the German people. And of course, they were maligned, they were persecuted. And of course, if you look at the unvaccinated over there in Germany, you find exactly the same scenario. So he is bringing that out and giving quite a few examples. He's also talking about the example where Jesus was asked to condemn the woman who was caught in adultery. And of course, the thing is, you know, again, he didn't have the man in front of him, so they only brought him the woman. And so sure enough, the whole thing was just nothing but a setup. And of course, you have to wonder how many setups are going on in Germany at this point. I was just reading this morning that they are getting together now to debate as to what they should do with the coronavirus restrictions. When I say they, I'm talking about the different leaders in those different German states. But in reading those articles, it's all only for those who are vaccinated. When it comes to those who are unvaccinated, there is not going to be, at this point, any attempt to make it easier for them. And of course, in Germany, you have a situation which is very similar to what is happening in Austria, and Austria, they just have done a mandate that everybody has to be vaccinated who is 18 or older. And of course, they're talking about the possibility that they are going to do this in Germany too. Now, of course, they have a new health minister, Mr. Lauterbach, and he's all for it. He's all for the mandate. And so again, we'll see how this goes in the near future. The current events we are talking about, as we say here, truly disgusting and abominable experiments conducted under Dr. Fauci's direction. Now, of course, I alluded to this already last time. In the meantime, we have been looking into the background, we have been looking into the sources, and we are quoting quite a few sources. We are also issuing a warning to the readers because the language in those articles is very strong, graphic, but we felt we needed to talk about it, and so we are. And I'm not going to read any from that today. I encourage you, though, to read it and to see how terrible man is dealing with fellow man, aborted children, and of course animals even. And it's just a terrible world in which we are living. Of course, we're also talking about China and the fact that there are the Olympics going on at this point, and China's trying to do everything kind of to create a nice image, and at the same time, the article points out, which we are quoting, the mean-spirited, murderous activities of the Chinese government for many, many years, and they're still going to do it today, and nobody is allowed to say anything about it while in China, otherwise I might be arrested. We're also talking about Germany's hypocritical conduct when it comes to Ukraine and Lithuania and other places. And of course, the fact that Mr. Biden, perhaps inadvertently, has helped Putin in what is going on right now. You might want to read those articles as well. We also point out that Israel has stated that they are willing to attack Iran, even if a deal is being resurrected, that famous Iranian deal, because they said, well, you know, that Iranian deal isn't helping us much when it comes to the protection of Israel. So there is still a possibility, and of course the Bible seems to indicate that, that there's still going to be, even before the Great Tribulation starts, some kind of a war between Israel and other nations. It could very well be Iran, and Israel will end up with receiving a wound, according to the Bible. We have been talking about the fact that the electricity rates in San Diego are skyrocketing, and it's not getting any better. We just got our latest bill. It's not much less than the one we had before. We are talking about the uselessness and dangers of lockdowns, according to a report, actually, which is being ignored by the mass media. Of course, we are talking about the situation regarding the Freedom Convoy in Canada, and something I'm going to talk about some more in the future today, in a few moments. And finally, we have some articles on Whoopi Goldberg's comments regarding the Jewish race, quote-unquote, and also an interesting situation pertaining to the Pope and his communion with the dead, whatever that means. Now, that's also something I like to talk about in the sermon a little bit later. But I'd like to focus right now on Mr. Scholz, who is the new German chancellor, and he went to Washington. You know the famous movie, Mr. Smith, I believe it was, goes to Washington. So here Mr. Scholz went to Washington, but he didn't do so good in the eyes of the press, both the international press, also the German press. I'd like to read to you from Deutsche Welle. They wrote that Biden said there would be no chance of the project, talking about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, going through if Russia attacks Ukraine. And Mr. Scholz was pressured to say something about that, and he refused to. He was very silent, very quiet, did not confirm what Mr. Biden actually did say. And again, Deutsche Welle points that out, that people are wondering what is going on, why didn't he mention those things, why didn't he confirm? And we point out that the New York Times commented on Scholz's meeting with Biden and the subsequent press conference, saying on Ukraine, Germany is nowhere to be seen. And then the Telegraph wrote, once again, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz offers only evasions, or offers only evasions on Russia. And then, of course, Bild Online, the German mass tabloid, talked about a huge rift between Biden and Scholz. And so we see here that the situation between Germany and the United States of America is not really getting any better. Now, we also have an article in there by the EU Observer talking about the fact that Europe needs an army. There's more being written about that, because Europe is looking at Russia, they are looking at the United States, they are looking at other allies, and they figure they have to do something themselves to, quote-unquote, defend themselves against what is happening in the world. And so we can expect this to happen, because the Bible does clearly say that a very powerful, mighty European army is going to be established. Of course, we don't know how quickly that's going to happen, but we do understand that it's going to happen. And of course, it's the last revival of the Roman Empire, the ancient Roman Empire, which is happening right now, and it's going to be under German, I would say German leadership, and also under a German leader. Could be Austrian, but it doesn't look to me that it's going to be Austrian. Austria, it could be a combination. You know, I mean, Hitler came out of Austria, that's true, but then he received the German citizenship also. But we are waiting for that, and we also know that when he is materializing himself, manifesting himself, that there's going to be 10 nations or groups of nations in Europe giving the power to the beast, to that individual, and they will have, obviously, a very powerful European army, because we know when that happens, shortly thereafter, they are going to attack the United States, they're going to attack the UK, they're going to win. Not going to be able to win unless they have a very powerful army. And so that is clearly prophesied in Scripture. Now, insofar as the Q&A is concerned, it's part number 3 of our series on how important our relationships with God and with each other. And of course, this particular Q&A talks about our relationship with our friends, our brethren, and also our relationship with enemies. And the Bible, or those whom we are considering to be enemies, and the Bible does talk a little bit about both aspects, or all 3 aspects, if you please. And to summarize what we could define the proper relationship, it's simply a 4-letter word. Anybody would know what that 4-letter word is? Love. See? It talks about love in every respect. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. But when it comes to the brethren, Christ adds something to it. He says, for the world to understand that I have loved you, that the Father has loved you, that you are mine, that you belong to me, you love your brethren as I have loved you. That's a different and more all-encompassing concept of love. See, as Christ loved us, we are supposed to love with the same kind of a love our fellow brethren. And of course, you can only do that if you have God's Holy Spirit within you, because it is the love of God which is poured out into you by the Holy Spirit. So you can't do that any other way. But that is a quote-unquote new commandment. That's the commandment Christ gave us. I mean, the commandment to love fellow man, that has been in existence since the Bible was written, but we are talking about a different kind of a love. This agape, godly love, which we all have to have towards our fellow brethren. When it comes to the work section, the preaching the gospel and the feeding the flock, there is a new standing watch program out there, Why Canada's Justin Trudeau is So Dangerous. Now, it's a provocative title, I understand that. I recently saw a TV program, which I actually point out in the standing watch as well, where Trudeau was quoted what he said about Fidel Castro's death. And they only had a brief portion of what he said, so I went on the internet and I looked up everything which I could find about what he said and what the reaction was, and that's quite a troublesome summary, if you please, as to what he all said and what he all believes, assuming that he believed what he said. The summary of the standing watch is this. Recently, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's official statement about the death of Cuba's Fidel Castro in November of 2016 resurfaced in the news, and his comments are indeed stunning and extremely revealing in light of what is happening in Canada right now. Trudeau's declarations in 2016 were strongly condemned, but might reflect how Trudeau ticks. This program analyzes the actions of dictator Fidel Castro and compares them with what is happening in Canada right now. Now, of course, there's more happening in Canada right now, but so far as this, as the Standing Watch program goes. And if you look into Fidel Castro's history, there is no way that you can possibly look at that and say, oh yeah, he was a very great man, and he was really one who loved the people, and he did so much good for them, like Mr. Trudeau seemed to imply. No, he was a dictator, a terrible, gruesome, brutal dictator, somebody who executed thousands of people who were not in line with how he believed what he stood for. So a terrible man. And to make comments in such a positive way, which Trudeau made, makes you wonder, how is he actually thinking? What is he thinking? Now, I'm going to talk about what he's thinking and what is happening in Canada and also what is actually happening in other parts of the world, including France. But now I'd like to go some more into additional situations and developments which have taken place, because there are some interesting things happening. There are pretty much three aspects I want to quickly talk about. The one is what Putin is planning of doing. Now, there was an article which was published yesterday by Der Spiegel online. Now, Der Spiegel is a left-liberal magazine, I understand that. But maybe that's important because they are left-liberal. But they are also a prestigious magazine. I mean, they wouldn't necessarily report things which are completely, totally out of line. So they just announced that according to American intelligence, it has been pretty much established, now listen carefully, that Putin is going to attack Ukraine this coming Wednesday. Now, how true this is, we have to see, but they have all kinds of evidence showing that Putin is, in fact, willing to do so. We don't know exactly whether they are going to invade the entirety of Ukraine, whether they just invade parts of Ukraine to install a puppet government there, which is pro-Russian. But it looks like something is happening. Even Putin has now withdrawn people from Ukraine, embassy staff. Both Germany, United Kingdom, the rest of Europe, also when it comes to the United States, they have all told their people, get out of Ukraine right now, as soon as you can, as soon as there are still planes available with which you can leave, because they said if the planes are no longer available, don't count, I mean Biden said it very clearly through his spokesman, don't count that we come in to get you out. So get out now. Well, it looks like it's pretty short, late in the game, because a Dutch airline has already decided they're not going to fly into or coming out of Ukraine anymore. So the embassies are being vacated only for those who are the extremely important people. They're still there for the time being. Reports have shown that Americans have already started at the embassy to burn documents. I mean, all these signs seem to indicate they are, anticipating an invasion. Now, you've heard about Mr. Biden's interview with Mr. Lester Holt. Now, Lester Holt, one of the veteran interviewers, I mean, most certainly not a conservative, but they already showed some excerpts from this interview. They're going to show the whole interview right on Sunday, right before these famous games take place, right? And so in the interview, I may have it here, but I speak now from memory, Mr. Biden was not too happy when Lester Holt asked him about the recession, which is probably the worst within the last 40 years. And so he answered him by saying, oh, now you want to be a wise guy. Didn't really make a lot of sense with what he was saying then. Another comment was made by him when he was asked about the report which had just come out, which actually was published by the Washington Post, not necessarily a very conservative paper either, according to which Biden blew Afghanistan so badly in that he didn't even listen to the warnings he had received, and he totally, completely denied that and said, oh no, nobody told me anything, and it was perfectly all right what we did. And then, of course, he, in one sentence, confused Iraq and Afghanistan and Ukraine in one sentence. And so people have been asking now about his mental capacity. I mean, so about 30% or so I was reading felt that he is not capable of running the country. Almost like 60%, it was a CNN report. Almost 60% feel, and that includes lots of Democrats, we are talking about 60% of the Americans, they feel that Biden didn't do one thing right since he became the president. I don't know what the percentage is, but quite a few in the Democrat Party think he absolutely must be stopped from running again in 2024. And on the terrible situation goes. We'll have an article in the next update about Biden's free fall. He's definitely, how can I put this? He is definitely in big, big trouble. Let me just read this to you. That's from CNN. A nation exhausted by a two-year pandemic, struggling against rising food and gas prices, driven to distraction by school closures, and torn apart by a political schism that erupted in violence, is far from at ease with itself. The sense of turmoil was captured in a new poll released Thursday, showed waning faith in U.S. elections, and found that most of the nearly 60% of Americans who disapprove of how Biden is handling his presidency were unable to name one single thing they like that he has done. Also on Thursday, there was news that a key measure of inflation had climbed to near 40-year high last month. Well, here it is, 37% of Americans saying Biden did not legitimately win enough votes to be president. So almost 40% of Americans still feel that the elections were rigged. And then, of course, this says this foul national mood is primarily a disaster in the making for Democrats in November's midterm elections, but it has been a long time coming. Just 41% of those asked approve of the way Biden is handling his job. His approval rating on the economy has dropped to 37%. Only 37% feel that Biden is doing an acceptable job when it comes to the economy. And on it goes. So the man is, quite frankly, no longer credible in the eyes of most Americans, let alone in the most of those who are not Americans, who are living in other countries. You know, of course, Trump now has a field day. He's being interviewed left and right and center, and he keeps talking about that Putin only does what he does because of Biden. Wouldn't have done it under him. Same goes for China. Same goes for just about everything. And, of course, his approval rate now is much higher than Biden's is. When it comes to Canada, let's talk about quickly about the Freedom Convoy in Canada by the truckers. Now, depending on what vehicle you're listening to. I mean, this morning I listened a little bit to CNN. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. That's all I could swallow and muster. But they have had a report where this reporter is standing there at the Ambassador Bridge. Now, the Ambassador Bridge is the one which combines and connects America and Canada. And, of course, that's the one, the most busiest one, which the truckers had kind of blocked, and where all this equipment, which, for instance, American auto industry companies need. So a judge had yesterday decided they have to leave, they have to vacate as of 7 o'clock Friday night. They didn't do it. But this morning then, when the police came with tanks and with all kinds of vehicles, then most left voluntarily. The latest I have seen is that maybe 20 or so trucks were still there. And then now they're being threatened, of course, with imprisonment and with hefty fines. And here's a CNN reporter. Well, everything is done now. It's all over. Well, we're just talking about this bridge. It's not over at all, because then I flipped over to Fox News, and they had a segment on there where the reporter was standing there in Ottawa. And there are huge amounts of trucks and truckers right there, and they are expecting more to come today and tomorrow. So it's not all over. But, of course, then you have the left-wing media. They're all totally against the truckers. And then you have the conservatives. They're all for the truckers. And so this is what you are getting. So you have to obviously figure out between the lines what you want to believe and what you don't want to believe. But when it comes now to these demonstrations, they are being copycatted, if that's an English word, in other countries, like, for instance, France this morning. And so several have on social media posted videos, and not fake videos, there are two videos, of absolute, complete, total, utter police brutality. They showed how the police went and hit the demonstrators over the head with batons. One police officer actually smashed the window, you know, of a person sitting in the car. You know, I mean, it does remind you of what happened in World War II. I mean, I'm sorry to say it. And so violence is in the making. I mean, it's going to be the French are not as peaceful as the Canadians, I'll tell you that. It's going to be violence pretty soon. I mean, they had violence before, and Macron almost lost his, you know, his leadership, whatever he is, prime minister or president, whatever it is, over that violence. And now it's going to happen again. So this is not over. They're talking about some kind of demonstrations coming this Sunday. We have to see how that's going to play out. And the interesting thing is, of course, you know, the left-wing media, they're talking about, oh, they just want to do away with the restrictions. It's not even only that, because most of the truckers are vaccinated. That's not the issue. The issue is that they say, oh, we had enough with the governments telling us what to do, taking away our freedoms. That's really what it's all about. And again, you know, Fox News is totally in favor. Newsmax is totally in favor. President Trump is totally in favor. But of course, the left-wing media, CNN, MSNBC, and you name them all, they are completely, totally against. So again, we're not taking a position here, but we are just reporting, and we are telling you what is happening. So these are the things to watch, I believe, at this point. Still the situation with Canada and how it is going to affect other countries. Australia is starting now a convoy of truckers. The same is true in the Netherlands. The same is apparently true. They're talking in Germany about it even, that they want to do it. France, as I said, is already doing it. And we have to see what is happening in the United States. But the demonstrations are growing, and the resistance towards the vaccine mandates are growing. And so we'll have to see what this all will lead to. Now, again, the other thing is Ukraine, Russia. Russia also has said, by the way, before I forget it, Putin was interviewed, and he made a public statement. And he said, first of all, it's Ukraine provoking us so that we may have to do something about it. So that's, of course, a complete total setup justifying an invasion if there's going to be one. And then he says, and then we may have to use nuclear weapons. And the article actually pointed out, I didn't even know this, that Russia is the number one in the world when it comes to possession of nuclear weapons, even in front of the United States. So I felt that was interesting for this reason. And of course, they said they were also using the nuclear weapons not just against the United States or NATO, but also Europe. You know the prophecy in the book of Revelation, combined with the book of Daniel, where it says that the beast, the king of the north, will hear rumors from the east and the north, which is, of course, the Asiatic hordes, and he will go out against them with grave and great wrath. But then it says in the book of Daniel, he will find his end and nobody will help him. But then also you see the parallel scripture in the book of Revelation, where you are being told that Europe is going to attack Russia and China and these places. Of course, that's exactly what Daniel is talking about. Europe under the beast will do so. But they will apparently not using nuclear weapons, because it says, you know, they will, yeah, we will torture the people, and for 5 months or so they will have great pain, and they look for death, can't find it, so it doesn't appear like these are nuclear weapons. But then the Asiatic hordes come back, and they clearly will use nuclear weapons and wipe out lots of Europe. And so, again, what I find interesting in this threat by Putin, it's almost like a preview of what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, we don't know how quickly it's going to happen. We have no idea, but things are moving so quick that you just wonder how much time is left. And all we need, and I've said that before, all we need at this point is the emergence of a united Europe under a leader. Now, there are certain candidates in Germany, not so much in Austria at this point, but in Germany, who would perhaps qualify. Now, it's not Mr. Scholz. You can forget that for sure. But there are others, maybe waiting in the wings, having to see, and we will most certainly tell you once we know who that person may be. But let's not assume that person isn't alive yet. I think he is. And he might very well be somebody who we have been looking at, and he will receive a deadly wound, as we read. And then the people may say, oh, he is history, like they said with Hitler, when he had to end up in prison. But then he came back, and everybody was astonished. And the book of Revelation says people will be astonished when he comes out of this bottomless pit. And they are marveling, saying, well, you know, who is this guy? We thought he was gone. Now his political deadly wound is going to be healed, it says. So again, watching and waiting is what we need to do, and informing and proclaiming in the meantime as to what we see.